the opening mission of Pesachim tells us that Lo Yochal Adam Ad Shetechshach, and the question is, why exactly is that the case? What exactly is the Isser of eating before the fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah? So Rashi and the Rashbam both comment that it's necessary to see to it that the mitzvah of matzah is fulfilled the teyavon, and if a person will engage in achila beforehand, so somehow you're compromising, right, that element of the passion, the enthusiasm regarding the fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah. And what exactly is this hagdara, the insistence that the mitzvah be the teyavon? So both Rashi and the Rashbam explain that this is considered to be a form of hidur mitzvah. That performing a mitzvah l'teyavon, that is a fulfillment of zek keli va'anveyu. The source of hidur mitzvah when it comes to mitzvahs generally is the sugyan Shabbos kuf lamed gimel and beis, where the Gemara quotes the drush of zek keli va'anveyu hisna lefanav b'mitzvos. And the Gemara describes that that means that a person should have a beautiful cheftes shel mitzvah, sukkah na, lulav na, shofar na, and the Gemara's context is the mitzvah of Bris Mila, that even though mi ikar hadin, all that is necessary for a mila ksher is to remove rov of the arla, to remove the entire arla, even the tzitzin she'ein ma'ak v'nes hamila, that the Gemara writes is a form of hidur mitzvah, the pasuk of zekeli va'anveyu. And the Gemara continues and quotes the drasha of Abba Shaul that has a very different understanding of this pasuk of Zek Keli Vanveyu, and that is Anivahu, the need to emulate Kadosh Baruch Hu, similar to the drashas of Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Telechu, the drasha in Sotan Dav Yudalid, or Vahalach the Bedrachav, that we're obligated to follow the lead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore Mahu Avata, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kel Rachum V'Chanun, the same thing is true when it comes to us as well. So these Pashup Shat are two alternative drashas to Zek Keli Vanveyu, either the context of Hidur Mitzvah or Vanveyu Anivahu Mahu Avata. The Rishonim debate whether this chiyuv of Hidur Mitzvah, lulavna, sofarna, sukkana, is that considered to be a din daraisa, or is that a din drabana? When you look in the sugi and sukkan daf yud aleph, that's where the Gemara quotes the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding lulav sarach eged. How critical is it to bind the lulav together with the hadasim and the aravos? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it is absolutely essential, and this is considered to be li'ikuva. The Gemara writes, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is based on a gzera shava of agudas ezov, that lekicha has to be ba'aguda, and as such, this is a din daraisa, which is ma'akev b'dieved. The Gemara writes that this is not true according to the Chachamim. Lulav tzarech eged is only a din l'chatchila, but b'dieved, one in fact would be yotzei even b'li eged. A machlokas Rishonim, Rashi and the Rambam, what exactly does that mean? Does it mean holding the dalad minim together, but not having an independent eged? Or does it even mean, as the Rambam writes a chiddush, that natlan bazeh achar zeh, you can take the lulav and put it down, take the esrog and put it down, even ad kadei kach. But clearly, the need for neged is only a din l'chatchila. So the Gemara is troubled that, again, if the Chacham agree with the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda, why is it only din l'chatchila? And if they deny it, why is there even a halacha l'chatchila lulav tzarech eged? The Gemara answers that this is a form of hidur mitzvah. Zek keli vanveyu, hisna lefanav b'mitzvah. So exactly what does that mean? So good, even the Chachamim admit that an eged is necessary. Why is it so obvious then that it's only a din l'chatchila and it's not considered to be li'ikuva? So the Ritva writes, and that's sugya and sukkah and daf yir aleph, that is because hidur mitzvah is only derabana. The gzera shav of agudas ezov, that's a din daraisa, that's li'ikuva. Once you assume that there is no such gzeirah shav, and this is only a form of hidur mitzvah, so as such, therefore, it is only drabanan, and therefore, it is not considered to be li'ikuva. And the Ritva goes a step further and argues that this is an important encompassing principle. The Ritva writes, b'cho b'daraisa, lo shanilan ben l'chatchila ben b'di'eved, because after all, when it comes to a dindaraisa, what do you mean it's a dindaraisa l'chatchila? If the Torah insists that this is how the mitzvah must be performed, so mechateisi, one has a right to assume, ideally yes, but minimally no. How can you argue that's true? Given the fact that it's only a din Derabanan, in such a case, then we assume it's only a din lechatchila. So again, you have two chidushim according to the view of the Ravid. Chidush number one, in our context, that hidur mitzvah is only a din derabanan. Chidush number two is this broader principle, right, of the Ritva Shita, and that is that once something is a din daraisa, it is necessary even b'diavad. If you look in the Ravid, in that sugya found on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph in Dapei Harif, the Ravid is Nasagas de Balamor. There the Ravid clearly disagrees and maintains that is not true, that even the Chachamim agree that Hidur Mitzvah is in fact a Din Daraisa, but Hidur Mitzvah is not Le'ikuva. You don't have to necessarily argue that the Machlokas, Ravid and the Chachamim, is whether this is a Din Daraisa, whether it's a Din Darabanan. One could argue that everyone agrees it's a Din Daraisa. In fact, Hidur Mitzvah is a Din Daraisa. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Shon Lavakosav La'akev, the Gzera Shav, is teaching us that this is Li'ikuva. And according to the Shita of the Chachamim, this is a Kiyum Daraisa, which is only considered to be that which is Lechatchil. In fact, if you look in the Chidushei Anshei Shem, this is found elsewhere, Brachos Daf Lamed Ches Samar Aleph and Dapei Harif, Chidushei Anshei Shem writes that Hidur Mitzvah is indeed a Din Daraisa. I, the Gemara says, explicitly in Sukkot Daf Yud Aleph, it's only Lechatchila. Okay, this is an example. We'll have to see why exactly, but this is a Din Daraisa, which is in fact Lechatchila. So, Mufurash Machlokes, between the Ritva and the Ravid, whether Hidur Mitzvah, Hisna Lefana B'Mitzvah, is a Din Daraisa, whether it's a Din Drabanan, and the Chiddush of the Ritva, it is only because it's a Din Drabanan that we can understand the Gemara that teaches us it is only Lechatchila, but B'Dievid, in fact, you would be able to say. One possible difference, simply, whether Hidur Mitzvah is Lechatchila, whether Hidur Mitzvah B'Dievid, Daraisa, Drabanan, the Gemara Bava Kama and Daftes raises the following issue. What exactly is the shear, right, of Hidur Mitzvah? The Gemara tells us that Hidur Mitzvah is Ad Shlish B'Mitzvah. One is expected to go ahead and to spend, right, a third in order to accommodate Hidur Mitzvah. So the Gemara raises the following suffix. How is it that we assess Shlish? Is it mi legav or is it mi labar? For example, if Meikar Hadin, a person could, right, access Dalad Minim for $60, and I say yes, but Hidur Mitzvah demands a Tosefes Shlish, an additional third, so what is 60 plus a third? Right? The suffix of the Gemara, is that 80 or is that 90? If you assume that milagav, it means that of the 60, divide that by 3, 20. So one is expected to spend an additional 20 for Hidur Mitzvah. So 60 and 20 is 80. Or one would argue that no, that is considered to be milabar. Milabar means that of the total layout, two-thirds is for the principal and one-third is for Hidur Mitzvah. In other words, a person is expected to spend $90. If you say, where do you get 90? The answer is, well, 60 is for the Ikar Mitzvah, and one-third of that, right, is for the Hidur Mitzvah. So the Gemara has a suffix, how in fact you assess whether it's milagav or whether something is considered to be milabar. And the Gemara is not poshet that abaya, right? That's an abaya lifshita, whether shlish is milagav, whether shlish is considered to be, right, milabar, right? Something costs 50, you know, going to the store now and it costs 100. Is that a 100% increase, what the original price was, or do we view it, right, milabar in the sense that now it's 100, right? $50 of that represented an increase. No? So the Gemara has that suffix, milagav, milabar. When we usually speak in Chumash, is a din daraisa of Chumash, right? In our terminology, Chumash is a quarter, right? Chumash is not a fifth. Because again, the Gemara is assessing from that particular perspective that if something costs 100, so a Tosefes Chumash means an additional $25. Right, so that you have to lay out $125, so 25 is Chomesh, and 100 is, right, the principal. We usually call that a quarter, right? We don't call that a fifth, but that's the suffix that the Gemara raises, milagava milabar. So the question again is, so how do you paskin when you have such a suffix? So if you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, and that's Sugim Bava Kama, and Daftes, Rabbeinu Chananel writes, so we paskin the Chomer, and therefore Shlish is considered to be that which is milabar. And if you look in the Russian Bava Kama, the Rush, and that sugya, Daftes, it's found in Paragalif, in Simin Zayin, the Rush writes that this is an Abaya Delivshita, and therefore we paskin that Hidur Mitzvah Shlish is Milagav, right? Not Milabar. So if you look in the bottom of the Rosh, the Papulei Charifta writes in Oskuf, that's because Hidr Mitzvah is Drabanan, and this is a Suffolk Drabanan, which is considered to be Lakula. If you look in Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef writes this in Hilchos Luluv. In Tafresh Nunva, the Beis Yosef quotes the sheet of the Rosh, that we pass in Hidr Mitzvah is Milagav, and the Beis Yosef writes, because this is a Sveika Drabanan Lakula. Sveika Drabanan Lakula. Just one Ha'ara. If you look in Stechemen, Stechemen is found in the Klalim, in Maracha Zayin, found in Klal Yud Beis. Stechemed writes, maybe Hidr Mitzvah's Daraisa. But the Shir of Shlish is not Halacha Moshe Misinai. The Shir of Shlish is only Drabanan. So therefore, Stechemed writes that even if you find, for example, like the Rush that writes, we paskin the Kula, that's because that's Suffolk, whether Shlish is Milagav or Shlish is Milabar, that's only a Suffolk Drabanan. But it doesn't necessarily mean that Hidr Mitzvah is only Drabanan. Maybe Hidr Mitzvah is Daraisa. But that detail is only Drabanan and a Suffolk within the detail of Shlish that is a Suffolk Drabanan. So again, when the Beis Yosef writes, Papulei Charifta writes, that it's obvious from the Rosh that this is a Suffolk Drabanan, is that because of the Ritva, that Hidr Mitzvah is only Drabanan? Or is that because, no, in principle, Hidr Mitzvah is Daraisa, but the Shir Shlish is only Drabanan, therefore this is considered to be that which is a Suffolk Drabanan. But Mefurash Machlokas Rishon, the Ritva and the Ravid, whether Hidr Mitzvah is Daraisa, or whether it's considered to be that which is Drabanan. That Chiddush that the Ritva writes, given the fact that it's only Drabanan, that is why it is Lechatchila, because when it comes to a Din Daraisa, Lo Shanilan, Ben Lechatchila, Ben Bedi'evet, this is a somewhat common theme that you find in the Ritva. The Ritva is found elsewhere as well, right? The Sugi and Brachos and Dav Tes Vav Amar Aleph. That's where the Gemara discusses the mitzvah of Kriyashma. And the Gemara is Doresh based on Shema Yisrael, that Mashmiel Oznav Masha Tamotzi Mibicha. Shema means that a person has to hear that which he articulates. Is that lechatchila or is that bidyevet? So that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi maintains that if lo hishmil ozna lo yotza, and we do not assume that way. We assume lahalach as the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that requirement of tzarech lahashmil oznav lechatchila yes, but bidyevet yud biyotze. That's what the Rambam writes, Nechus Kriyashma, Perek Beis Alachaches. That's what the Mechaber writes in Hilchos Kriyashma, Simin Samach Beis, in Sif Gimel. That requirement of Tzarech Lashmil Ozno is only a din lachatchila. What exactly does that mean? So if you look in the Rashba, in that Sugi and Brachos, and Dav Tesav, the Rashba is clear that this is a din daraisa. It's a din daraisa, but Rabbi Yehuda maintains, but b'di'evet, one is still yotze. And the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva is found elsewhere. The Ritva is found in Megillah and Daf Chav. That's where the Ritva writes that cannot be. If this halacha of Tzarech Lashmil Ozma was really a din daraisa, drasha gemura, Shema Yisrael, how in the world can you say that the Torah tells me I have to read Kriya Shema this way, but b'di'evet yotze if you read it that way? How can that be? How can that be? The reason Rabbi Yehuda maintains that b'di'evet your yotze is because this is only an asmach the drabanan, and the Ritva repeats that line because b'daraisa lo shanilan ben lechatchila b'di'evet. How can you argue din daraisa? But you know what? If you don't do it, you're okay. You're okay. How can that be? Just what the Ritva writes when it comes to Hidr Mitzvah, the Ritva writes when it comes to Kriya Shema as well regarding Tzarech Lahashmil Ozno. And there is a third Ritva. This Ritva is found in Hilchos Brachos. The Ritva not only has a Pirush and Maseches Brachos, but the Ritva has a Chibur which is called Hilchos Brachos. If you look in Perek Vav, Halacha Zayin, there the Ritva addresses the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Memches when it comes to Birchas Hamazon. That's where the Gemara writes that Tzarech Lahazkir Bris U'Torah. It's necessary for benching to mention Bris and Torah. Bris and Torah. Is that a din daraisa? Is that only a din d'rabbanan, the need in benching to mention bris and Torah? So it would appear from Tosfos earlier in Brachos, the Tosfos in Brachos, Dav Chaf Mebeis, that this is a din d'araisa. Because the Gemara debates whether women are obligated in benching mid'araisa or only d'rabbanan. It's a Mishnah. And Dav Chaf Mebeis, that women are obligated in benching. The Gemara in Brachos, Chaf Mebeis, raises that issue. D'araisa or d'rabbanan. And that's where the Gemara writes, L'may nafkamina, for a woman to be motzi a man in Birchas HaMazon. Why in the world should you assume that women are only obligated in benching d'rabbanan? Benching is not a zman grama. So Rashi writes, because ala aretz tova shenasan lach. Because Birchas HaMazon is rooted in Yerushas Haaretz. And since women were not apportioned a chelik of Eretz Yisrael, so in such a case, therefore that would not be the instance, and therefore, perhaps only obligated in benching Drabbanan. Tosus disagrees. Women were not the only ones who don't have an absolute chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And Tosus writes, it's because of that Gemara Brachos Daf Mem Chesa Bris and Torah. Women are exempt from Bris and Torah. And therefore, that is the possibility that they're obligated in benching only Drabbanan. Apparently, you see from Tosos that Bris and Torah is Daraisa. If Bris and Torah would only be Drabbanan, it would be surprising to assume that one who lacks Bris and Torah would only be obligated in benching Drabbanan. If Midaraisa, there's no such requirement. But if you argue Midaraisa, right, these are linked. No? So in such a case, that's what Tosus explains. In fact, Tosus is bothered by the opposite now. Since Bris and Torah is such an essential part of benching, and women are exempt from Bris and Torah, so how can it possibly be that women are obligated in benching? How can that be? So Tosus writes the interesting chiddush. Men and women would both be obligated in benching. But for a man who benches, he would have to include Bris and Torah. And a woman who is benching can be obligated midaraisa without Bris and Torah. Chiddush, that's what Tosfos writes. For men, benching requires Bris and Torah, but for women who are excluded from Bris and Torah, there's no need to mention Bris and Torah. So it's interesting. So what would the nafkamina be? The Gemara is clear. No, whether women can be motzi men in Birchas HaMazon. So what would women do to be motzi men in Birchas HaMazon? So women would recite what? Benching without Bris and Torah? And they be motzi men in benching? Rabbi Kveger writes the Chiddush that women would recite Birchas HaMazon without Bris and Torah. And even if a woman is being motzi a man in benching, he would have to recite on his own Bris and Torah. Because how can she be motzi him in Bris and Torah if she is excluded? Because after all, the arvos that allows me to be motzi him is only as strong as my personal chiyuv. And if I am exempt from Bris and Torah, how can I be motzi him in Bris and Torah? Interesting chiddush, no? So I would suggest that Rabbi Kveger's l'shitase of Rabbi Kveger we just discussed, no? About Rabbi Kveger's biur of Nashim Lav Bechlaravos against that Noda Behuda, the Dogram of Vav and Reishayin Aleph, where Rabbi Kveger pointed out that Arvos is an extension of my personal chiyuv in a mitzvah. And when the Rush writes that Nashim Lav Balchar Avos Ninu, it doesn't mean women are excluded from Arvos. It means if women are exempt from a mitzvah, they're exempt from the Arvos of that mitzvah. Because Arvos is all driven by my obligation in my mitzvah. Then we pointed out a couple days ago, no one could disagree. One could argue that Arvos is not from the perspective of the Ose mitzvah, but it's from the perspective of the one who is being Yotze. Right? Would a woman be entitled to say, "What, you want my dalid minim? Get lost." No? You have to perform a mitzvah? I'm exempt from dalid minim, so I have no obligation to see to it that I provide you with my dalid minim, even if that's the only dalid minim that are available. Is that really true? it's a function of the motzi, or is it a function of the one who's being yotze? No? Interesting issue. But I would suggest that those Ravi Kvegers are l'shitase. Okay. So, Bris and Torah. So, the Ritva writes, Bris and Torah is only a din l'chadchil. Only a din l'chadchil. And the Ritva writes, Nochas Brachos, Vav Zayin, that's because the need to mention Bris and Torah is only Drabanan. Only Drabanan. So, since it's a din Drabanan, it's not Likuva. Not Likuva at all. That's the third Ritva. Right? That the din darais would be Likuva. Tzorach lishmilozno, bris and Torah, lulav tzorach eger, all of those are examples of something which is only din l'chadchila, right? And that is because all of those are dinim drabanan. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a lengthy piece. Rabbi Yosef Engel is found in Lekach Tov in Simen Hay, where Rabbi Yosef Engel discusses this issue. When do you assume that bidaraisa lo shanilan? And when do you assume, no, it can be a din daraisa, which is only l'chadchila. Take a look at his marmakamos, very beautiful marmakamos. In a nutshell, what he suggests is as follows. You have to know what that halacha is. See, sometimes the halacha can posit an independent, an extraneous iser. And sometimes the halacha can require a condition of the mitzvah. So Rabbi Yosef Engel writes as follows, that if you're dealing with a din daraisa that is extrinsic, then you can have a din daraisa which is the chadchila. But if you have a din daraisa which is an inherent part of a mitzvah, in such a case that certainly is not true. So for example, right, Yosef Engel writes, what about all those cases of the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Temura, where ko milsed amar achman lo savid I avid mahani, I avid lo mahani? The Torah said no, but what if I do it? Is it good, is it not good? The machloka is a bain ra. What do you mean? The Torah says no, it's makke b'di'evid. What happens, for example, I want to be poda hektish. Right, so I'm supposed to be poda hektish dollar for dollar. What happens if you have shava mana shechilo shava pruta? It's an example. I take $100 worth of hektish and my maisa pidyon, I give hektish a buck. No? And for $1, I'm pulled to something which is, right, shavamana. Right? So it's mechulo. It's mechulo. Yeah, but Tosos writes, Rav Yosef Engel calls, Tosos writes, but Metzian Daf Nun Zayin, it's clearly usher to do that. You're shortchanging hektish. So what right do you have to be pulled to $100 for a penny on the dollar? The question is that Maisa Pidyon Chal, but Tosas points out, obviously it's Aser to be Poda V'Pachos M'Shipio. So Rabbi Yosef Engel just writes, just by way of example, but it's, right, it's a beautiful model. Yeah, it could very well be that I am, for example, stealing from Hektish, violating an Isser of shortchanging Hektish by being Poda Shoman and Shavruta. But that is a separate iser. There's a mice opinion. And now I can ask myself, if I'm poting this fashion, am I shortchanging hektish? There, it's not a contradiction to say one is not allowed to do so, but b'dievet it's chal. But that's against the ritva. There you don't argue that, well, if I did something inappropriately, it undermines the entire chalos. You don't argue, for example, that if a kohen marries a grusha, since he violated an Isser in doing so, the Kedushin is Bakar, the Kedushin is not Chal. Whenever you're dealing with an Isser can be a Milsa Achritahi, that this doesn't impact on the Chalos. Rav Yosef Engel just writes, but let's say you're dealing with something which is not an Isser. You're dealing with a condition, a Tanai, a condition of the mitzvah. One of the conditions, one of the requirements of Kriyashma is Sarach Lashmil Ozno. One of the requirements of Birchas Hamazon, they have to mention Bris and Torah. So there I can raise a legitimate issue. Maybe that requirement is Likuva. And in Achinami, the answer of the Ritva is, yeah, that requirement is Likuva. As long as it's a Din Daraisa. If it would only be that which is Drabanan, then it can be a Din. L'chad Chila. Take a look. It's an interesting Chiddush. There is a Tosus found in the Sefes Nida, Daf Samach Vav Mebeis, where Tosfos writes the following requirement. Tosfos is bothered by this, that the Gemara explains. Let's assume a person has a chatzitza. So obviously that chatzitza will impair the ma'aseh tefillah. What happens if the chatzitza is in a person's mouth, for example, beis hastari? Nonetheless, the chatzitza is still poselis. So the Gemara is bothered. Does water have to enter your mouth? When a person is tov, you have to open your mouth and all the water rushes in. So if you don't need bias mayim, why should there be a problem of chatzitza? I understand the water is supposed to, right, come in contact with this part of the body, so the chatzitza prevents contact. But if contact is not necessary, why is there a psul of chatzitza? So that's where the Gemara points out, you don't need bias mayim mamish. You don't have to have all water rushing into your mouth, but you do need royal bias mayim. And where do you find such an example that you need that which is royal akach, even though that's not necessary? So that's what the Gemara writes. That's not so surprising. That's a principle of Chol HaTorah Kula. Kol HaRoyal LeBila Ein Bila Ma'keves Bo. Ein HaRoyal LeBila Bila Ma'keves Bo. When you go ahead and offer a mincha, and you have a combination of the solus, and for example, in the shemen, as long as potentially it can be mixed, so in such a case, even if for whatever reason the mixing did not occur, Raila Bila, then Ein Bila Ma'keves Bo. So that's a Gemara. Nidan Dan Samach Vav, the Chiddush, that you need Raila Bias Mayim, you don't need Bias Mayim Amish. So Tosfos is bothered by the following. Tosfos writes, wait, let's extend that mashal a step further. A person is offering a Karba Mincha. So he says, is it necessary to mix? What's the answer? Of course it's necessary to mix. Bila mamish is certainly l'chadchila. Ein bila makeves bo b'di'evit. If you offer the mincha and it was missing, it was lacking, as long as in principle it's ra'y l'kach, that's good b'di'evit. That's not good l'chadchila. So Tosfos is bothered, so let's complete the loop. The same thing should be true when it comes to tefillah, that l'chadchila, one should open their mouth in order to allow all the water to rush in. But if the person failed to do so, as long as there was no chatzitza, then it should be a tefillah kshera. And Tosfos writes, you don't find that that's true. When it comes to tefillah, we assume that raya l'bias mayim is good l'chatchila. So Tosfos says that, what do you mean? How does that relate to our mincha case? Where raya l'bila is only b'di'evit, and raya l'bias mayim is l'chatchila. So Tosfos answers as follows. Tosfos has a beautiful teretz that there's a difference between a mitzvah as opposed to a machshir or a mitaher. When it comes to a mitzvah, Tosfos writes, you know, one could envision a minimal kiyum ha-mitzvah, an enhanced kiyum ha-mitzvah. Let's say you hold mitzvah saying tzrichas kavana. Okay, so I would tell you, don't bother having kavana. Because b'di'ev you're yotzei without kavana. Of course, you'd argue, no. Minimally, you're yotzei, but ideally, everybody agrees. Right? Kavana is critical, no? In other words, there are different gradations of how one can fulfill a mitzvah. But let's assume, for example, you're dealing with a matir, a metaher, a machshir. There, Tosfos writes that, look, if the purpose of the tefillah is to secure, to create tahara, and this tefillah will create tahara, so therefore, if it's good, b'di'evit, it's good l'chadchila. In certain areas, l'halacha, maybe there's no mid-ground. So that's the chiddush that Tosfos writes. Maybe there's a difference between tevila as opposed to a mitzvah of hakravas ha-mincha. Right? Interesting chiddush. So when it comes to hidur mitzvah, the Ritva writes, Hidur mitzvah is only drabanan. And his proof is, because if it was a din daraisa, it would be likuva. And the fact that lulav tzarech eged is only a din lechatchila, that's a clear raya muchachas, the hidur mitzvah is only drabanan. I would suggest that you see according to the Ritva further chiddush. And that is the following issue now. What is the nature of hidur mitzvah? pretty critical issue. Is Hidur Mitzvah an independent kiyum? Or is Hidur Mitzvah an inherent part of each and every mitzvah? Is Hidur Mitzvah a mitzvah pratis, part of each and every mitzvah, or is it a mitzvah klalis? Let's assume, for example, a person performs a mitzvah and he falls short of Hidur Mitzvah. How would I formulate that which is missing? Would I argue, you know, you fulfilled the mitzvah b'shlemusa, but you failed to fulfill a separate mitzvah, a separate kiyum of zekeh levavehu? Or would I argue, no, zekeh levavehu is not an independent mitzvah, but rather, zekeh levavehu teaches us that each and every mitzvah, part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, part of the mitzvah of lulav, and part of the mitzvah of sukkah, and part of the mitzvah of matzah, is that the mitzvah should be fulfilled both in hamahudar. And if you don't do that, there is something lacking in the particular mitzvah. Not that Hidur Mitzvah is something which is independent. Interesting, Chakir? I would suggest that according to this Ritva, you see that Hidur Mitzvah is part of. Not independent of, part of each and every mitzvah. Because if Hidur Mitzvah was independent, an independent mitzvah, how do you understand the Ritva's argument? I would argue Hidur Mitzvah is absolutely daraisa, and Hidur Mitzvah in principle is absolutely ikuva. Ikuva means if you don't perform the Hidur Mitzvah, you don't fulfill Hidur Mitzvah. Are you fulfill the mitzvah of lulav? Of course you fulfill the mitzvah of lulav and esrim. You don't have the tefillah shel yad. You put on the tefillah shel rosh. You fulfill the mitzvah tefillah shel rosh. Well, what does that mean? Tefillah shel yad is only derabanan? Well, of course not. The Rambam explains, no? Because tefillah shel yad and tefillah shel rosh are independent mitzvahs. The Rambam counts them in the Sefer Mitzvahs as two separate mitzvahs. So of course, one does not impact, not because one's derabanan, one's daraisa, because there's independence. So that chiddush of the Ritva, see, when it comes to Kriya Shema, I understand that chiddush of the Ritva. Because you're not going to argue that there is one mitzvah of Kriya Shema, and there's another mitzvah of Shema Yisrael, Lahashmi Lazanacha. Doesn't make sense. No, there you're going to tell me that the fact that it must be audible is a detail of Kriya Shema. Well, then if it's only Lachatchila, I understand. That's a right, according to the Ritva, that Tzarech Lashmi Lazan is only a Dindir Rabbanan. But maybe one could understand Hidur Mitzvah very differently. Maybe Hidur Mitzvah is Daraisa. And the reason it doesn't prevent you from fulfilling the Ikar Mitzvah is because of independence. And that's why one could be Yotzei. The fact that the Ritva writes that will prove to you that Hidur Mitzvah is only Darabanan, because if it was Daraisa, it would be absolutely Ikuva, shows you the Ritva understood Hidur Mitzvah similar to Bris and Torah, or similar to Tzarech Leshmi Lazna. It's not that when you bench, you're fulfilling two different mitzvahs. One is benching, one is bris and Torah. It's not when you say Kriya Shema audibly, you're fulfilling two different mitzvahs. One is Kriya Shema and one is Shema Yisrael. Those are clear conditions of the mitzvah, inherently. Well, the Ritva is assuming that's true when it comes to Hidur Mitzvah as well. So that's an interesting chiddush. Now we had three chidushim in that line of the Ritva. Now, one is Hidur Mitzvah's Drabanan, the other is the broad argument of the Ritva, whenever you have a Din D'Oraisa, L'Shalom ben L'Chadchil B'Di'eved. And the further one is that Hidur Mitzvah is an inherent part of each and every mitzvah. It's a mitzvah pratis, it's not considered to be a mitzvah klalis. I'll give you an example. The Ravid writes Hidur Mitzvah is a din daraisa. We just had that. Let's look at Dav Zayin and Dav Yariv. But the Ravid clearly admits it's only a din lechatchila. So the Ravid's not bothered that Hidur Mitzvah can be daraisa and it's only lechatchila. I'll give an example. You look in the Rambam in Perek Chesef Huchos Lulav, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes a very great chiddush. Lulav Hayavesh is possible. The Rambam writes, yeah, lechatchila. you have a choice, a lulav that's yavesh, a lulav that's not yavesh. Obviously, take the lulav that is not yavesh. But b'shas hadchak, that's all you have, you can utilize lulav yavesh. The Rav writes, what in the world does that mean? No. The Rav writes, b'chol psula daraisa, ein chilek b'shas hadchak. If it's not good midaraisa, what do you mean the chatchila it's not good, but yavet it is good? How can that be? The Rav writes that this is a din daraisa, that lulav yavesh cannot be used, and how in the world can the Rambam write that ideally it shouldn't be used, but b'diavad it's good? That's the Ravitz Hasaga. See, the Gemara has a line in the beginning of Lulav HaGazal, Hayah morishin lulaveyan livnei v'neyan. There was a time that there was like a scarcity of lulavim, esrogim, so they used to pass it from one generation to another. So the Rambam assumed it must have been pretty dry if they did that. No, this is the Zeta's lulav. It must have been yavesh. You see from the Gemara that yavesh is kosher. That's what the Ravid writes mafurish, that no, that's not what it means. That was just a zecher ledover. It doesn't mean that they used to use it and make a bracha to fulfill the mitzvah. It meant there was a time in history that there was a real scarcity of lulavim, so they used to pass the lulav from generation to generation with the tefillah, shemichoz adav leoshna, you know, that there shouldn't be a lack of awareness of what this mitzvah is. But it doesn't mean you can be yotze. Because after all, din daraisa, what do you mean a din daraisa lechatchila, but b'diavad it's okay? So, this is not really such a stira, but the Ravid is the one who maintains that hidra mitzvah is daraisa lechatchila. And the Ravid like can't envision this Rambam Shita. Yeah, but one possibility simply is, yeah, you're dealing with a psul, such as yavesh, a psul chefza. No, so in such a case, I understand very well that psul is going to be lechatchil v'b'diavad is kosher. Hidra mitzvah, Boshu Pshat, the Rabbi could argue, hidra mitzvah is not a psul daraisa, it's an independent kiyum. And it doesn't bother the Rabbi at all to assume that hidra mitzvah is daraisa lechatchila, but that can't be said of yavesh. The chiddush of the Ritva is that hidra mitzvah is inherent. And therefore, if hidra mitzvah is daraisa, we'd view that as a psul daraisa, in which case, how can it be that you'd be yotze b'diavad? I'll give you another example. That case. The opening mission, lulav hagozel, dabchav tes. Lulav hagozel v'yavesh pasul. Yavesh is pasul. You know what Rashi writes? Zekelev anveil, hidra mitzvah. Wow. Rashi writes that a lulav yavesh is pasul because of hidra mitzvah. Apparently, you see, according to Rashi, that the lack of zeke and veil is a psul, is a mamish a psul daraisa, and you're not yotze. And you know what Tosus is masig? The Tosus in the very beginning of Lulav HaGazal, right? Tosus writes in Daf Chavtes, or Maskul Lulav, that can't be. The psul of Lulav Yavesh is because of zeke and veil. And Tosus quotes the Gemara in Sukkah earlier, Daf Yir Aleph, that zeke livan veil is only a chachila. So how can Rashi say the psul of yavesh, where Tosfos assumes is obviously b'di'eved, like the Ravid, is because of hidra mitzvah? Hidra mitzvah is not hidra chatchila. That's what Tosfos writes. So what's the psul yavesh? Tosfos says it's not because of hidra mitzvah, it's because of hadar. The Torah describes esrog as being priyetz hadar and makshina on the lulav esrog. It can't be because of just simply Zekeli van Veyu, Zekeli van Veyu, only done the Chatchila. It's not Makeh B'di'evin. But Rashi writes that failure to fulfill Zekeli van Veyu is a psul. Poshup Shat, you see, according to Rashi, I would suggest number one, Daraisa. Number two, I would suggest, like the Ritva, not Daraisa Darabana, but like the Ritva in the sense that Hidra Mitzvah is not an independent Kiyum, but Hidra Mitzvah is an inherent part of. Because if Hidra Mitzvah was a separate Kiyum, what do you mean you're not Yotze? Not Yotze what? You're not Yotze the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. Not that you failed to fulfill zeh keli vanveihu. In fact, when you look in the Meiri in that sugya, the Meiri addresses the kasha of Tosos. How can Rashi say that hider mitzvah is a din daraisa b'di'eved? When the Gemara is in Daf Yud Aleph, the hider mitzvah is only lechatchila. The Meiri writes, right, without full biur, the Meiri just writes, lo kol hamidos shavos. You can't equate all cases of hider mitzvah. Some yes, some no. Now, not every example of hider mitzvah is identical. One could envision a hider mitzvah like Yavesh, which is b'di'eved, and hider mitzvah such as Lov Tzarech Eged, which is the Chachilu. We'll have to see what exactly that means. But this is not just a generic, right, hider mitzvah. There are different levels of hider mitzvah, and one could certainly envision times where it's b'di'eved, times where it's lechatchila. You know, Tosfos writes, how in the world can Rashi say that hider mitzvah is b'di'eved? The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph, hider mitzvah is lechatchila. Is there ever a case where hider mitzvah is li'ikuva? So there is a case in the Gemara. That's the Gemara in Gittin Dechav. The Gemara discusses an interesting case where a person, as I said, is writing a Sefer Torah. Unusual case, he's supposed to write a Shem Hashem Yirke Vavke. The Gemara's case is that it was written without the requisite machshava. Kasvo shelo lishma. The Gemara says, what about the following possibility? Mavel of Kumus, just right on top of it, Aksav al Gav Aksav. The Shem Hashem that he wrote right now is not sufficient to be Machshir the Sefer Torah. So what about just writing on top of, rather than erasing the Yud Kei Vav Kei, writing on top of it? Aksav al Gav Aksav. The Gemara has an unusual case. The Gemara says the person thought he was writing the name Yehuda. And lo and behold, he forgot the Dalet. So he wrote Yud Kei Vav Kei. Oh, what did I do? You know what? That's what he was supposed to write, Yud Kei Vav Kei. No? The Gemara says, problem. Ein zeh shem ana muvchar. He intended to write Yehuda. He didn't intend to write the Shem Hashem. So the Chachamim say, that's possible. That's possible. Why? What's wrong with that? The Gemara says, because be'ina zeh keili vanveihu. That's zeh keili vanveihu. That's ksiva bofen hamahudar. Having in mind you're writing Yehuda and forgetting the Dal, lo and behold, you have a Shem Hashem. So it's clear in the Gemara that that's li'ikuva. It's a chiddush. The Tosfos writes, how in the world can Rashi say that hider mitzvah is b'di'eved? Yeah, the Gemara says this. The Gemara says this in Gittin Dav Chav. What elamai that? Yeah, all right, you have to distinguish in different cases. Okay, that's what the Miri says. It's clear according to Rashi as well. But like, why is Tosfos so surprised? Sharp teretz, right? The Chassam Sofer writes the following. There's a sefer on Dinei Stam, which is called Keses HaSofer. Keses HaSofer. So the Chassam Sofer has Hagos on the sefer, Keses HaSofer. So if you look in the Hagos of the Chassam Sofer to Keses HaSofer and Simon Beis, the Chassam Sofer writes that there's Poshup Shat in the Pasuk, and there's the Drush of the Gemara. The Drush of the Gemara of Zeke Vanvehu is that there's Hider when it comes to all mitzvahs. Hisnala Fonaba mitzvahs. Each and every mitzvah, Lulavna, Sukkana, Shofarna. But even without that Drusha, Zekeli Vanvehu means that there certainly is a need for Hidra when it comes to Shem Hashem. Rostovichik said the same thing. In other words, Hidra mitzvah in Shem Hashem that's certainly likuv. That's the one place you find it likuv in the Gemara. Is that keli vanvei? Keli is kevavke, Hashem Hashem. Ksiva v'Hashem Hashem ba'opin sheino mahudra, that certainly is likuv. What Tosfos questions is Rashi wants to apply that to lulav. That's hisnala from the mitzvos, the extension to shar mitzvos, that Tosfos says, is not likuv. Just a further example where you find likuva is the halachos gedolos. Halachos gedolos in hilchos lulav just cites what the Gemara tells us, right, in Sukkah daf memhei, that you have to hold the dalet minim derech gedilosam, the way that they grow. If hafcho, you hold it upside down, hafcho, the Gemara daf membeis in Sukkah, lo yatsa. Hafcho lo yatsa, poshib shat turned upside down. You look at Rabbi Nachanan on that Gemara. Hafcho lo yatsa, Rabbi Nachanan, it's achidish, he switched hands. Wow, he switched hands. The need for the lulav to be in the right, nesrog to be in the left, is l'ikuva. That's a chiddush. No? Rashi and Tosfos, hafcho means you turn the daladimim upside down. But Rabbi Nachmanana writes that that's true. That's a chiddush. No? It's machlokas rishonim, it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, a lefty. No? How do they take the daladimim? Right, the way a righty would, or the opposite way? It's an interesting issue, right? All halachos that apply to a lefty. Rechem Kanievsky has a sefer in Tzitzis. So tucked in the middle of the that sefer, there's a kuntres of Yeter Yad, right, all the halachos that apply to a lefty. Yeah, it's like over 100 halachos that apply to lefties, which they do like a righty, which they do right in other ways. It's interesting. So here it's mamash 2 days in Shulchan Aruch in terms of what does a lefty do. Right, Rabbi Nachmanana writes, "There's liikuva because you put the lulav and esrog in the wrong hand. You're not yotze." The Magen Avraham points out that the Gemara mentions that the lulav should be in the right, the esrog should be in the left. So lulav should be in the right, esrog should be in the left, as opposed to holding both in the same hand. Right, that also sometimes is typically done. No, you look around during Hoshanos or during Nanuim. Very often, how do you hold a sitter and the lulav and the esrog? Very often the sitter is in one hand, the lulav and esrog in the other hand. The Magen runs mafurish. No, the Gemara says the lulav should be in the right, the esrog should be in the left. It should be two different hands as well. That's interesting ha'aras. But again, bashub shad hafcha means upside down. What's wrong with holding the dalet minim upside down? What exactly is wrong with that? So halachos gedolos writes that lacks hider mitzvah. Hider mitzvah is derek adilasa. That's it, right? Hider mitzvah is derek adilasa. So that's interesting chiddush as well, because you're not yotze. Right, that's an example of a hider mitzvah, which is considered to be that which is l'ikul. So an interesting chiddush. What we'll see, and perhaps this is part of the biur, right, of the Meiri, is there are different types of hider mitzvah. Hider mitzvah. Let's say lulav na, sukkah na, shofar na, that's halach in chefte shom mitzvah. But as we alluded to yesterday, that's not the hider mitzvah of arsagya. Right here, the Gemara is not dealing with hider mitzvah that the matzah should be beautiful. No, we're not talking about. We're talking about the achilas matzah. No, the achila should be l'teyava. That's an interesting concept of hider mitzvah. Hider mitzvah not in terms of chefte shel mitzvah, but hider mitzvah in terms of maisa hamitzvah. Maisa hamitzvah. The maisa hamitzvah, the kiyum hamitzvah, should be ba'ofen hamahudar. And I'll even show you a couple examples that we mentioned where maybe the line is blurred a little bit. Maybe it's not so clear. No, lulav tzarech eged. Is that halacha in chefte? Or is that halacha in maisa hamitzvah? In other words, that need to be ma'agei, the lulav tzarech hadasim, is a chefza. This is the appropriate chefza shel lulav. Or maybe one argue, no, that's not chefza. Maybe that's halacha of lekicha tama. That this is part of the ma'isa lekicha. How do you take the dalet minim? Even the example that the Gemara mentions of tzitzin she'ein makvin esamil, Shabbos kuf lamed gimel. You have to remove all of the orla. Is that cheftza? Or maybe one could argue, you know, that's maisa hamitzvah. Whenever a person engages in a maisa hamitzvah, there's kulo, doing the maisa hamitzvah completely, and then there's reliance on rubo kakulo, rov. I'm going to drink rov kos instead of drinking the entire kos. So maybe one could argue as follows. In other words, even though the halacha recognizes rubo kekulo, but you know what? Lechatchila kulo mamish. The maisa mitzvah should be complete. That's an interesting spin, no? That would mean that maybe the halacha of kol hatzitzin, afilu shein makvinis amila, is halacha in maisa hamila, not necessarily in chefza shamila. Just like when it comes to shtiyas hakos, kol hakos, as opposed to rubo kekulo. This is what we'll have to discuss, the different types of hider mitzvah, and maybe those couple of cases where it's a little bit less clear, whether it's halacha in chefza, whether it's halacha in maisa hamitzvah. Okay. So maybe we'll continue this the next year. Let me just mention a few comment about Sefer B'Midbar and tying it in with shoes as well. There is a beautiful Medrash Rabbah at the very beginning of Sefer B'Midbar that describes Kabbalah Satorah and tells us that the Torah was given to Knesset Yisrael, right? Ba'esh, Ba'mayim, Uva'Midbar. It took place in Midbar Sinai. And it was given by Eshu Vamayim. What exactly is the significance of Midbar? So the Gemara writes in Nedarim and Daf Nun Hei that Kevan Sha'osad Mesatzmo K'Midbar, right? That this is what a person has to do. A person has to belittle himself. No? Shuhu Mufkar L'Kol, just like the Midbar. Right? Anyone can have access. So that's how a person should perceive of himself. Rashi writes it means melamed Torah bechinam lakol. It means a person has to be able to share, right, that which he has. Osa atzmo kemidbar. And that in a certain way is similar to the mayim aspect of Kabbalah Satara. Because the Gemara writes in Tainis and Av Zayin, then why is it that Torah is nimshal lamayim? So the Gemara writes that just like when it comes to mayim, it's yardim lamakom namuch. Mayim always seeks its lowest point. Right, you have a leak in your house. Very hard to find the source of the leak, right? Because the water always travels down. The Gemara writes that since that's the nature of water. So the Gemara writes af divrei Torah, the same thing is true when it comes to Torah itself, that eino miskaimim ela b'misha daito shvela. A person has to exhibit that midah of anivus. The midah sa'anava, Rachaim writes, is a precondition, right, for Kabbalah Satara. That's true when it comes to midbar, right? That's true when it comes to mayim, but eish seems to represent, right, almost the opposite. An esh is not something which is holeich lemakom namuch. Right, an esh is something which is shalheves, which is ole me'aleha. Right, is something that always ascends. It is not something which is similar to mayim. And perhaps one could explain that part of the meaning of that medrash is that there's a certain balance that was indicated in Kabbalah Satara, and a certain balance that is necessary in the most general terms. That a person has to exhibit, right, the Midah of Anava, but yet in a certain extent, if a person doesn't feel, right, the real sense of self-worth, and a person doesn't see himself as being a barachi, a person can very much limit, right, his capability, his goals, what it is that he can accomplish. Right? The Mishnah writes in Sanhedrin that the reason that Adam HaRishon was created as a Yachid was because everyone has to affirm that Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. If a person doesn't have that sense of self-worth, they'll think that what he does is of no consequence, of no significance. So on the one hand, a person has to affirm Bishvili Nivra HaOlam, and that has to be balanced with, right, the statement of Avraham Avinu, right, of Anochi Afar Ve'efer. You kind of have to balance these two different tchunos and nefesh. Right? It's a common theme in the Bali Musar that a person has to have two pockets, one with Anochi Afar Ve'efer and the other with Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. You have to kind of know, right, exactly at which moment A is appropriate or B is appropriate, but clearly, right, this was part of our understanding of Kabbalah Satara. The question, of course, is that when do you exhibit Mida A and when do you exhibit Mida B? So perhaps what could be very, very insightful is what you find later in Sefer Bemidbar, the Chet of the Meraglim and the Chet of Adas Korach. Here, right, Knesset Yisrael had two opportunities, and they resulted in a grievous chet. And what you find is the response, right, of Knesset Yisrael in each one was quite different. Right? When it came to the chet HaMeraglim, so the Meraglim went and they scouted, they spied out Eretz Yisrael. They came back with, again, right, the message that this is unattainable, and the pasuk reads that Vanehi Beinenu Kichagavim. Right, you know who's there? They're giants that are there, and they saw themselves as being like Chagavim. They saw themselves as being like nothing. And all of a sudden, then you come to the next parsha, right after Shlach, you have Parshas Korach. All of a sudden, Korach Hadaso challenges Moshe Rabbeinu. Kol ha'edu kulam kadoshim uvasocha Moshe. We are all great individuals. Lama tisnasun, why do you feel that you have the upper hand, that you have a right to dictate? That every member of Knesset Yisrael, right, is endowed with that infinite sense of kedusha. Like using these models, that Bani Bino Kechagavim was the Midah of Mayim, Midbar, which is Mufkar Lakol, and Kulam Kadoshim is the Shalheves, the Eish, which is Olam Eilad. And these were two grievous chatam of Knesset Yisrael. In other words, that here, inappropriately, they utilize, right, the Anochi Afar Ve'efer and Bishvili Nivra Olam. When it came to Eretz Yisrael, so Kadosh Baruch Hu did not ask us if we would. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu told us, this is part of Bris Ben Abasarim, that Eretz Yisrael is ours. L'zarcha nasati es Eretz Azos. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you that this is what you must do, that is not a time that a person should be an anav and say, impossible, I cannot, who am I? When a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you that this is what I demand, that's when a person has to embrace, right, the Midas Ha'ish. And all of a sudden, when it came to confronting Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, when it would have been most appropriate for Bnei Yisrael to respond and then say, Bani Bnei Kechag, who are we compared to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron? We are nothing. When it came to implementing the Dvar Hashem, all of a sudden the Meraglim embraced the Midah Eish. When it came to confronting, challenging Moshe, all of a sudden they embraced the Midah of the Eish. Kol Eile Kulu Kadoshim Usocha Hashem. Those two chataim, right, are the models of the exact opposite. The opposite, which is the appropriate, right, balance of these Midahs, to implement the Dvar Hashem, then a person has to be the Eish, which is Olak Shishkal Heves. And when a person is in the presence of Moshe and Aaron, that's when it's appropriate to say that Anochi Afra Ve'efer, Nihi Beinei O Kechagavi. That the chori is the balance. To challenge the Dvar Hashem, a person has to realize you're nothing. To implement the Dvar Hashem, then a person has to realize that there's a Kedushas Yisrael, that if the Torah says that I can, then I must. Right? I've often mentioned that the Torah would never command us to do that which is beyond our reach. If it does, there would have to be some type of built-in heter. The heter of Yifas Tovar is the heter that proves the rule. No? That lo dibra Torah ela keneged yetzer hara means that the Torah really felt that this is something that is so difficult to do, so therefore the Torah would create the heter which is mefurish b'kra. And that's the exception that proves the rule, that if there's no built-in exclusion to all other mitzvahs Hashem, that means that this is a very legitimate expectation. That's what the Midrash Rabbah writes in the pasuk of Lo b'shamayimi, right? Ki mitzvah hazos lo niflesi mimcha. The Midrash is mafurish. How do you know that that's true? Well, because if Torah would be b'shamayim, it would mean it's inaccessible. It would mean it's out of reach. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create us with wings. So to say that the Torah is me'ev liyam, to say that the Torah is b'shamayim, means that the Torah is positioned in an area that a person cannot access. That's not reachable. That's unattainable. And that is the furthest from the truth. Now, that's exactly what the Midrash writes. Lo b'shamayim. If Kadosh Baruch Hu says you must, it means that it's within one's grasp. And therefore, that must have been the appropriate perspective. If the Raglan come back and say that we cannot, they were misreading their mandate. Their mandate was, how do you implement the Dvar Hashem? Not whether or not the Dvar Hashem is viable or whether it is not. To pass judgment on the viability of, right, that's when a person, right, is obligated to embrace the Midah Veish and say that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I must, then I certainly am empowered. And therefore, right, alone aleh, that must be the response. And it's important not only when it comes to these chatoim, but it's an important message of l'hashkach v'sachayim, of balancing the different chunos. And perhaps this is so fundamental to Avodas Hashem. That's why the Midrash writes in the very beginning of the parsha that this is how the Torah was given to us. It was given to us be'esh uvamayim uvamidbar, in order to teach us that both tchunas are necessary to be an Oved Hashem. At times, right, to mimic the esh, and at times to be a shvaruach, copying the midah of the mayim. Okay, all right, Mitzvah Hashem will continue. Monday, we won't have shir on Sunday, so Mitzvah will continue on Monday, and we'll finish up Hira Mitzvah, and we will discuss the Samnyan Yeshuas as well. Okay? Okay, good.